The first scripture I'd like to share with you today is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 38. Let us together hear the word of the Lord. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, they will pour into your lap. For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Our second scripture reading is from Mark's Gospel, chapter 12, and verses 41 through 44. Let us again hear the word of the Lord. And he sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the multitude were putting money into the treasury, and many rich people were putting in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amounted to a cent. And calling his disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury, for they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on." Here ends the reading of God's holy word. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. There's an old story about a strong man who used to travel around in a circus. And one of the most impressive stunts that he had was to take an orange. And in front of everyone, he would squeeze every last drop of juice out of it. And then he would offer $1,000 to anyone who could manage to squeeze even as much as 1 additional drop from the orange. And he would go from town to town making this offer, but no one was able to win the $1,000 from him. Well, one day he came to a little town in South Carolina and made his demonstration of juice squeezing prowess and gave his challenge to the crowd. Well, a small, wizened, 98-pound weakling-type man came forward and said he'd like to try the challenge. And he took that crushed orange and he proceeded to squeeze it. And 6 more drops of juice came from that orange. Well, the strong man in the crowd were amazed. And the strong man could hardly believe his eyes. And he asked him how he could possibly do this amazing feat. The man just shrugged his scrawny shoulders and said, "Practice." "Practice? How can this be?" He said, "Oh, I'm the treasurer down at the Presbyterian Church, and we do this kind of thing all the time." 2 small copper coins. Today's message. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, prepare our hearts now to hear the truth of your message about this widow who gave all she had for the kingdom of God. In Jesus our Lord, we pray. Amen. Today, there are so many American families strapped with monthly bills and high debts. Americans are taking on debt just to make ends meet. The average American holds a debt balance of $96,371, according to recent Experian data. Americans have unfortunately become reliant on their credit cards, with around 46% of Americans with credit cards that are carrying debt from month to month. And only 82% of Americans were absolutely sure that they could pay their monthly debts. For this reason and the rising inflation, some folks have concluded that they simply cannot afford to give to their church, or for that matter, to any worthwhile charity. After all, it just doesn't make sense to give money away with such high inflation and debts. And as you say, you can't squeeze blood from a turnip. But once the strong man of this world squeezes everything he can from you, there's usually nothing left for God. Oh, we know how the reasoning goes in our minds. Now we have this bill and that one. We have a mortgage and a car payment or two. And we need money for doctors and vacations and a little entertainment and eating out. And oh, those kids need money right now. They need some help. And yes, how about the miscellaneous, unexpected things that might come our way? And after all, you just never know. And what about retirement? We really should be putting money away for our golden years. Well, let's see now. What does that leave us, therefore, for the church? Well, nothing. Oh, well, God understands. Maybe next year someone else needs to step up to the plate and give. Well, of course, in this church, people do have to step up to the plate, literally, in order to give, because we don't pass plates in the sanctuary. We don't even take up an offering. We just have baskets at the front and back of the church for people to drop in what they wish. We wanted offerings to come from people's hearts, not out of compulsion. But that doesn't mean that this church or any church can do without support. Even the beautiful and well-apportioned temple in Jerusalem needed resources. And Jesus didn't teach that a temple or a synagogue was without the need for offerings. But he did have something to say about how people gave and for what motives they gave. And I believe that he has something to say to you and me today about giving. Now, widows in Jesus' day had very little income because their wage-earning husbands were the main source of income for the family. They had no insurance, they had no welfare, no Social Security, no retirement, little savings, and almost no money for the unexpected. And so, the widow might be left to hard labor, to glean the fields, or perhaps resort to begging or getting money from her children when she got too old to work. A widow was always at the mercy of her creditors, who tended to squeeze every last cent they could from her. And that is why the Old and New Testaments are replete with God's command not to afflict the widows. God's faithful were there to help the poor and the widow, not to burden them even further. So on one particular day, as Jesus was sitting in the temple in the outer courts, he began to watch people drop their money into the treasury of the Lord's house. They also walked by these plates. And then he saw a very unusual sight. A poor widow humbly came forward and gave everything she had. Now, what she gave wasn't much money. In fact, it was hardly worth mentioning. It was nothing more than a pittance. But it was all she had to survive. The treasury was located in the Temple of Jerusalem within the court of the women, which meant that both men and women could come forward and give. So Jesus sat down on a bench where he could watch people bringing their offerings and drop them into one of the 13 trumpet-shaped bowls used to collect money. You see, they didn't pass the plates either. That's why we don't pass plates in this church. We provide bowls or baskets for people to drop their offering in. So Jesus watched silently as rich people put in the excess money into the bowls, and it seemed that he was not very impressed with their giving. Until this poor widow arrived and hastily dropped in two of the smallest coins in circulation at that time in Palestine. I have two of these 2,000-year-old coins in my possession, and each coin, correctly called a lepton, was made out of copper or bronze, and was usually not a Roman coin. It was a coin that the Jews used in the temple. And so it was acceptable to give this coin, but it only represented about 6 minutes of work. And she gave two of those coins, so it represented 12 minutes of labor total for her. And yet Jesus knew that that offering that this woman gave was everything she had and everything she had for food. She was trusting God with her very life. And in a similar fashion, the Israelites had to trust God to feed them every morning with manna from heaven. Could she possibly have been fortunate enough to have heard Jesus' words at some point when he preached the Sermon on the Mount a little over a year before this event? Perhaps she had believed his message circulated through word of mouth. Quote, look at the birds of the air. They do not sow, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? Or maybe she had heard these words. That's why I tell you, do not be anxious for your life as to what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor for your body as to what you shall put on. Is not life more than food and body more than clothing? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, Jesus quickly realized the faith that this woman plainly exhibited when she gave her offering. And he called his followers, his closest followers together, the 12 disciples who had not even noticed what had happened. They needed to learn a lesson about giving. And he taught them, saying these words, "Do you see this poor widow? Truly I say to you, she put in more than all the other contributors to the treasury. For they put in out of their surplus, but she gave out of her poverty. For she put in all she owned, all she had to live on." You see, doing something about what we claim to believe can be a life-changing decision. It has eternal consequences. I truly believe with all my heart that when we act on what we claim to believe, we please our Lord. And real faith that acts on what it believes greatly furthers Christ's kingdom. Chrysostom, who lived from 347 to 407 AD, once commented on this story that we read. "When those of limited means respond faithfully to the full extent of their means, they express deeper faith than those who are of greater means and respond only in part." Unquote. Jerome once said, "The quantity of possessions does not count in the kingdom's audits." Unquote. So if you think about it, what else could she have done with these two little coins? Well, she couldn't have bought bread with them. They weren't enough to sustain her children. She could have added more money to them and bought something. But she must have been ashamed at least to have put these in the offering bowls. There was nothing else she could have done with them except just hang on to them. But she knew she had to give them away because she believed that God would provide for her. If she were faithful to him first, perhaps she did hear, "Seek my kingdom first." In the rabbinic literature is found these words concerning faithful giving. "If you give to charity while you are poor, you will eventually give in days of wealth. But if you do not give while you are rich, you will eventually abstain from giving because of poverty." God has willed that there are two hands in the matter of charity, one that gives and one that receives. Thank God if yours is the hand that gives. Say not, "I will miss what I give." Rather, be like the sheep who gave their wool and have no less the next year because they have given. You see, in Jesus' message, that widow's gift was not measured by its weight, but by its goodwill, by its faith, and by its sacrifice in her heart. She sacrificed more than anyone else, and she trusted God more because they had plenty left over for themselves. She had nothing. And she had nothing at all in which to live. And so she knew not where her next meal would come from. I can only remember one time in my life where I can honestly say that I didn't know where my next meal would come from. And that reflects also this giving to the church. Once back in 1982, I had made a pledge to my church in Belton, Missouri. In 1 week, I discovered that after paying all my bills, I had just enough money to either keep my pledge to the church or to buy groceries for that week. Well, I didn't have anything else to eat in the house except a few condiments and cooking oil. I was living alone in a mobile home, and I didn't want to ask for help. And so I made the decision to trust Jesus, not to trust my math. My math told me I should not give to the church that week. But my vow to Jesus said I should. So I finally made the decision to give all the rest of the money I had for that week to the church, and I just simply prayed and asked God to provide for my needs. Now, I don't mind telling you that I got very hungry on that first day without any food. And so I went to the shed and I pulled out my old Zebco fishing rod that I had owned from the time I was a boy. But I had no money even for live bait. So I simply grabbed some jigs that I had and walked down to the local pond and put a bobber on my line and cast my line into the water. Now, you may not believe the rest of this story, and that's okay. It happened just like I'm about ready to tell you. Almost as soon as my line hit the water, my bobber went under. I had a bite, and I pulled in my catch. Well, it was a little brim, about hand size, a little longer. And then I just kept casting my line in the pond over and over again that evening. And I just kept pulling in fish. It was like they were jumping on my hook. And soon I had enough fish for a good, tasty meal. It sort of reminded me of when Jesus told the disciples to let down their nets for a catch, and it was filled. And so I took those little hand-sized guppies home and fried them up and had myself a fresh fish dinner seasoned with salt and pepper and a little ice water to drink. I'm telling you what, that was good. That was a really good meal, especially when you're hungry. And for the rest of the week, I had to go to work every day, and I had only a little time after work each afternoon and evening to catch my only meal for that day from that pond. And every day, without fail, this is the part you may not believe, but those little fish would just jump on my line. I had a fish dinner every night. And each night I would take my string of fish home, I'd clean them. My neighbor was so curious one night after watching this continue all week long. And he came out of his mobile home and he said, "What in the world are you doing?" I told him, I said, "I'm making myself dinner." Those little brim were like manna from heaven for me. I had to catch them every day. Then later in the week, lo and behold, an unexpected check came in my mailbox. And I had enough money to go out and buy groceries. And finally, I was paid the next Friday, and it all worked out for me just fine. Now, I'm not telling this story so that everyone will go out and give his last dime to the church, nor am I telling you this story in order to brag about my faith. I've only been in that position once, and yet, in the same way, a widow of Jesus' day struggled every week to make ends meet, to eat. And I'm suggesting to you that God knows how to provide for his people who act in faith, who trust him and keep their vows to him. There's an old anecdotal story about a pastor who had made an appeal to his church for a great and worthy cause. Well, a certain woman who was a member of his church came to him and handed him a check for $50. And she asked at the same time, "Is my gift satisfactory?" And the pastor immediately replied, "Yes, if it represents you." Well, this was kind of a moment of soul-searching thought for her, and she asked to have the check returned to her. She left with it, and a day or two later, she returned and handed the pastor a check for $500, and again asked the same question, "Is my gift satisfactory?" Well, the pastor gave the same answer as before, "Yes, if it represents you." As before, a divine truth seemed to be driving deeply within her. And after a few moments of hesitation, she took that check back again and left. But later in the week, she came again with a check. And this time, it was for $5,000. And she gave it and she said, "After earnest and prayerful thought, I have come to the conclusion that this gift does represent me, and I'm happy to give it." So perhaps in the light of this story, the words from 1 Corinthians 16:2 may mean more to us. To give as God hath prospered him. Or as Jesus once said in the scripture we read, "Give and it will be given to you. They will pour into your lap a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over." For by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you in return. Friends, our standard of measurement makes all the difference in pleasing God with faith and in God's response back to us. Now, this poor widow had the firm conviction that many of us lack, even with all our wealth, even with all our supplies and opportunities. We question, with all that we have, whether God will provide for our needs in the future. Do you believe today that God will provide for you? You see, by merely giving these two copper coins, this widow trusted her life to the Lord. By giving these two copper coins, she trusted her children to the Lord. By giving these two small copper coins, she trusted in the bounty of heaven. And by these two little copper coins, she accumulated riches in heaven beyond her wildest imaginings. Let's do something for fun, shall we? Let's pretend that we deposited that widow's lepta, that's the plural of lepton, in the First National Bank of Jerusalem to draw 4% interest semi-annually from Jesus Day for 2,000 years. Well, by today, those two little coins would have grown to a sum of more money than exists. If a bank on earth could multiply the widow's mites to such an astronomical figure, think about what God can do with our treasures given to him, where moth and rust do not corrupt, and we have an eternity of dividends. Friends, we do have treasure in heaven when we give, not expecting any earthly return on our investment, not giving to get rich, but giving because we love Jesus Christ. We have treasure in heaven when we act on our faith. We have treasure in heaven when we give with joyful hearts, not begrudgingly. We have treasure in heaven when we give with benevolence and goodwill as our motives. Jesus saw this poor widow throw in two small copper coins into that offering. And her simple act of faith from 2,000 years ago has not been forgotten even up to this day. For the widow's two mite investment continues to bear dividends in our lives, to reproduce itself in the gospel message and even in this message. Only eternity will reveal how many people have been challenged by her faith, challenged by this one woman's little sacrifice, but was a great sacrifice. May her offering that represented her fully bear great fruit in your life and in mine and in the church of Jesus Christ, our Lord. To God be all the praise and glory. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, that this woman's witness is still bearing fruit, dividends in our lives and the lives of millions of people. From two small copper coins has come the truth of giving to your kingdom and the truth of our motives for giving and our faith in trusting in you. Oh, Lord, continue to use this account of the truth of giving to your kingdom to bless all your people. For we pray through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.